Welcome to The Thoughtful Entrepreneur. If you're committed to growing your business by serving audiences with generosity and real expertise, you're in the right place. This is a daily 15-minute show featuring leaders who believe real impact comes from generosity, not hype. Which means, as a listener, you're going to get the good stuff. In fact, we created podverified.com to give thoughtful leaders like you free tools to show up better on podcast stages like this one. That includes your free PodVerified score, free PodVerified guest training, a free media kit builder, and so much more. It's the first ecosystem of its kind built by podcasters who genuinely want to help guests thrive and grow in podcasting. Visit podverify.com if you'd like to be featured as a future guest. I'm Josh Ellidge. Let's get into it. With us right now, Thomas Rechtein. Thomas, you are you help owner-led manufacturers, contractors, and trades build a business that runs without them. Listen, for that audience, that has got to be from your lips to God's ears kind of thing, because I happen to know a lot of folks in those areas tend to be fairly overworked. We're going to get into all of that, but you refer to yourself as a business execution coach, very successful in your own right. Thomas, it's great to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me, Josh.
You bet. Your website is rectineconsult.com. And sorry if I'm mispronouncing that, but there's a few ways you could pronounce it. The authentic German pronunciation. Thomas, before we get into your superpowers and what you do, and love to talk about the industry a little bit, always love hearing what high-level leaders do for fun when they're not at work. And you've got a great story about what you do in your free time.
I believe I do. And actually, I think that's one of my superpowers. I just love carpentry. I grew up in my grandpa's shop in Germany from age four. I built the first seat of my little go-kart myself with my grandpa. I was probably five or six at that age. It's still on there in my parents' garage. Still doing its thing. I mean, it's everybody who has anything to do with craftsmanship and doing something with their hands, they know how long these products you build can last you. And for some, it's a lifetime. And actually, my biggest project ever, which I'm the most proud of, is when we moved to Houston, which was during COVID in 2020, I built my own kitchen. So I get to walk into one of my favorite projects every morning and have my coffee.
Oh, my gosh. And you literally tell me more about what went into the kitchen.
Well, I don't know how many sheets, but a whole lot of plywood. So I went to a hardware store and told them what I needed for the face frames, right? The rails and stiles. I used maple, and then I just got some birch plywood pre-finished. And yeah, I cut the thing up on a 10-inch DeWalt table saw. So I really made sure the saw blade is kind of square. I built with MDF my own infeed and outfeed table, so I had enough space to put them on and cut them straight. And then I built a full kitchen, and I do believe that the painter was impressed too with the doors he got from me. So they came in, they painted it, they liked it. They actually asked me to make some doors for them, but I just didn't have the time to do that, like on the side, semi-professional or something. So
yeah,
that would have been cool, but yeah. And otherwise, I mean, I build like stuff around the house. Usually, we need a cabinet, we need a little building somewhere. I try to make time for that and do that.
You do a lot of high level leadership stuff. And then, kind of the contrast now, just kind of you working solo in your shop. Emotionally, what does carpentry give you?
So what carpentry gives me really is an outlet. Obviously, a lot of energy and fun goes in it. I'll still think while I do it, right? It's not that it's like a brain free zone, but that gives me the space, because usually also my kids, I really love them. One out of four is a little handy, and once in a while he helps me. But in the summer when it's hot, they'd rather be inside and not in the garage. So that being said, it's my space. I'm by myself. And I really get to pour myself into these projects. Mm-hmm. And I forget about anything. I don't have to eat. I don't have to drink. I'm in the zone, really. I could do this for 8 hours straight if my wife wouldn't come out with a tumbler full of water and some ice cubes once in a while. I probably wouldn't drink all day as long as I'm in there. And then Yeah, it's very satisfying.
And what a great story, the fact that, that's kind of your posterity or your lineage coming from your grandfather, being a legit, German carpenter back in the day. That's very, very cool. And probably doing some work that carpenters don't get to do as much these days, I would imagine. So, well, Thomas, thank you so much for sharing your story. Let's talk about leadership and operating systems for growth and how you fit in with your clients.
So yeah, but what I do, I mean, you said it correctly, Josh. I help owner operated businesses, specifically manufacturing, construction, trades. That's my sweet spot. And it's just because of my history. I speak the lingo. I claim that I know the people, I know the sensitivities in these areas because I've spent my life there, also my corporate career with the steel company out of Germany. So it's just that's where I started and that's where I still am. And I help them to figure out what's keeping them from growing and then get from chaos to clarity, if you will. So from, working all day long to really executing properly and working on the stuff that you need to be working on.
My suspicion and kind of what little I know about leadership in those worlds, manufacturers, contractors, trades, those, from my experience, tend to be really hardworking leaders who probably don't get as much time off as they wish they could. Leads to perhaps a little bit of burnout, maybe just taking on too much responsibility, maybe not delegating enough. Those are just kind of my observations and things I've heard over the years. Can you give us a lay of the land of what your client's world is like? Am I too far off or?
No, you're not off. You're spot on with what you've said. Obviously, there's a little more to it. Like that bucket is a little bigger than
Oh,
that.
yeah.
But so it's exactly how you're saying. What I find is that they are very hardworking people, and they are just great at what they do. They're great carpenters. They're great electricians. They're great people in a fab shop. They work with their hands, and they really, really, really have a tremendous skill. That's never going to leave them. The thing is, some of them went to college, some of them didn't, and even if they did, you don't really learn the stuff about leadership and how to run a business that you need to do it in the day-to-day, right? You never learn how to run a meeting, have it start on time, have it end on time, make sure everybody is there all the time, make sure you have outcomes. And then you have outcomes. Well, what happens with those? Usually nothing. So you get together again for the next meeting. You talk about the same stuff. The meeting's not an hour, it's going to be 2 hours. Everybody is bored beyond belief and just hates these meetings. So, how do you get it to where it takes the 60 or 90 minutes you say it's going to take? How do you make it to where, okay, we have five things we need to take care of? And a week later, the people come in the room and those five things actually got done. And that's where the working on the business, working instead of working in the business comes in, right? What I see oftentimes is, again, what you were describing, the owner is the bottleneck. They put in 60, 70, 80 hours a week, whatever it is. Every decision flows through them to your point of delegation. They just don't because they probably don't trust their people in most cases. They think they have all the knowledge and other people only have partial knowledge. So if somebody with partial knowledge signs off on a work order, it won't get done right. Product goes out wrong. You lose all the money. You got to do it over. So they rather have a last look themselves. And that's where the ceiling comes in, that glass ceiling that they all hit at some point. You can only go so far. You can keep adding more hours, but to what point and at what cost? So the two questions I always ask owners when I have my discovery call with them, or even the initial call is, look, what does this cost you? And I don't only mean in business sense, like on the personal side, your family, your marriage, your kids, all this time you're spending. And I bet you come home tired. If you work 80 hours a week, there's not much energy for positive stuff with the family left. You're drained. There is no other way. The other thing is really the question, if you were going to sell your business today, Josh, would anybody buy it? And the answer is mostly no, if they're honest with themselves. And that is the situation I help them to get out of, because I firmly believe every business has to be sellable. If you sell it or not in the end, totally your decision. You can run it forever, you can close it down in the end, but only a business that is actually sellable, which means it's owner independent, is going to be a great business and can be scaled in the long run.
Thomas, the clients that you end up working with, I suspect that they come in and they know, or at least they feel like they know where their gaps are, or they know, what they're complaining about. And they might be complaining about morale's down, output, turnover's high. They just don't see it like I do, or I can't get, I don't know if you hear much of that. What I'm curious about is the complaints you hear coming in, and then what your prescription is. Again, my thesis here is that often you hear a lot of complaints, and the founder, the leader, might think that this truly is some sort of a frontline problem, culture problem, right? When in fact, it's they have a good deal of the responsibility for why they're having the problems that they are.
Correct. And again, I mean, you're spot on. You do know a lot of these people and a lot of those markets, obviously, Josh, but that's exactly what it is. That's what they complain about. And the first solution everybody has, well, if they're an avid reader, they read a book, they talk to some people, and they try things out, and nothing helps, because their solution in the end is, I need more done. So the first thought is, okay, let me hire a couple more people. So I have more people, I have more man or woman power, I get more done. Sure. 3 months in, they find out that didn't work. There's not more output. There's not more revenue, but I just beefed up my cost. And at some point, it gets to the point where maybe they're close to not being able to make the payroll. They have the order book full, but cash flow is a problem, right? So the prescribed solution for me, really, and again, I'm all about execution, but the owners are executing every day, 80 hours a week right now, but they're only working in the business. They're only working on day-to-day things that come up again and again and again. And that's because they don't have a system in place. Well, they do, and usually that's chaos. And that doesn't work in the long run. And then you can say, okay, there is people who just like it works for them. They do it. Yeah. I refer back to the 80-20 rule, right? There's 20% of business owners who, for whatever reason, take the right decisions and do the right things and put the right systems in place, although they've never learned it. They have a seventh sense for it or something. I don't know, but it works. But for 80% of the business owners out there, they don't even know what to start. And it's all fine as long as them running the business, their kids probably helping in the shop, the wife doing the invoicing. But once they hire outside people, once they hire people they don't really know, they don't trust, they get to that 10, 15 person mark in the business, the people problems start. Like people just leave, they have tremendous turnover every month, and they can't hire enough people to keep the seats they have defined filled, and they just don't know why that is. And it's because there is no system. Sometimes they also go, I had a discussion the other day with somebody who works with fractional leaders and positions them. And if you put like a fractional COO, because you think, well, I need to get stuff off of my own plate, right? So logic, I put in a fractional COO. Well, if they come in a system of chaos, they can't do much. So the first thing you have to do is you have to build the foundation. And based on that, you can start doing the work on the business and then execute better in the business.
All right, Thomas, let's give some next steps for our friends that are listening right now. Your website is rechtheinconsult.com. And I know you've got resources. You're a great follow on LinkedIn, by the way. What would you recommend people do? I see you've got an insights button here. When folks go to your website, what do you recommend?
So for one, the insights button is the first thing to look at. That's my blog. There's a bunch of content in there. I put out another post every 2 weeks, and I think it's very relevant and hands-on for most owners. The other thing is growth at rectinconsult.com. That's kind of a questionnaire, 28 questions I put people to, and that leads back to the website in the end. And there's a free version, so you can go on, you fill out the questions, and it'll tell you where you are in the areas of clarity, alignment, focus, and momentum. And then the next step, if they're up for it, is a free 20-minute discussion with me to just see if I can give them some free resources on top of that and help them in any way, like, figure out the weekly meeting. There's a couple of things you can do, fairly simple, that will change things in your world.
You know, it's got to feel great for your clients as well. Because there's so many responsibilities, and in some ways, kind of feels like you're coming in and helping them with some structure so that they don't have to feel like they're responsible for implementing all these things. And then, of course, we just kind of get entrenched into our own cultures as well. So, a fresh set of eyes, and obviously, you've seen a lot of operations over the years, so you know perfectly well, what might be working well and some things that they might be able to try internally. So, Thomas, it's a great conversation. Again, your website is rectineconsult.com. We've got the link directly within the podcast notes right now for folks to connect with you. Thomas, it's been a great conversation. Thank you so much for the work that you do.
Thank you, Josh.
Thanks for listening to The Thoughtful Entrepreneur. If your goal is to grow your business, increase revenue, and build authority without gimmicks, this show is designed for you. Each episode gives you practical insight from leaders who have turned trust and credibility into real business results. If you value short, thoughtful conversations that respect your time, make sure you're subscribed. We publish daily 15-minute episodes focused on growth that actually compounds. And if you're interested in being a guest or you want to turn podcast appearances into measurable business growth, visit podverified.com. You can start for free with your Pod Verified score, along with free podcast guest training and a free media kit builder. These tools are built to help you get booked on better shows, deliver stronger interviews, and convert audience trust into revenue. No more desperate sales. You truly can enjoy all the business you like by generously sharing your wisdom. Everything we offer is built by podcasters for guests with a focus on trust, organic growth, and long-term business success. Thanks again for spending your time with us. I'll see you next time.